Hi everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive Podcast. Okay, Steve.
Yep.
How have you been?
I'd be good.
Okay.
That's a question coming, I know I can feel it.
Okay, it's Oscar week, so I need to ask you, when was the last time you saw a movie in a theatre?
Like the cinema?
Yeah, that's right.
Eons, pre-COVID. I haven't been ever since. I don't even remember what movie it was.
Pre-COVID? That's
more than 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Okay.
You're probably not alone in that assessment.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
Sadly.
Okay.
But why?
Okay.
Yeah, why are you not coming back?
Hang on, guys. Wait for it. We haven't introduced you yet. But let us build up the story a little bit first.
Yeah, okay. I do make it a point to go to the cinema, especially if it's a movie that's hugely anticipated.
Okay.
Like, you know, Gladiator 2. Which was not great,
did
by
you
the way.
want the sound effects, the sort of the, you know?
Of course.
Is that why?
Yeah, the sound effects, you know, just the beauty of the screen, the big screen.
Okay.
It's quiet. Nobody bothers me. I don't know. It's nice and dark.
Okay. I like being home because then I can pause the show when I need to pee. I can, you know, the alcohol's way cheaper, you know, and I can eat and kind
close.
Of be a mess. And yeah, and it's just more comfortable. And especially it's like a Friday night, you're thinking, go out, battle the crowds, or I'm home already. Ready, you know, so.
You know, but that's the thing. So when we were dating, right, going to the movies.
We were never dating.
This is an interesting turn.
No. When we were dating.
When we were younger
own...
and we used to go out on dates. Let's rephrase that.
Yeah. When we were younger and we used to go out on dates, going to the movies at the cinema was special, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How's that different for young people these days?
Okay, well, let's jump into the conversation because our guests are eager to get their word in. Quick recap for folks listening in. You know, we've been hearing news about cinema shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
Cathay Cineplex was the latest to run into some financial trouble. They shut down one of its outlets. Last year, Ingwa's WE Cinemas, they closed operations. They had been around for 80 years.
Wow.
They sold it off. Mm-hmm. Shaw Theatres has had to close its outlet at Seletar Mall after 10 years of operation.
So, what's happening? Yeah. Right? Why are fewer Singaporeans watching movies in the cinema? And what can be done to bring them back? So let's start with the numbers, right? The numbers are showing that cinema attendance has actually been declining. Actually, even before COVID, there's mm-hmm. been a decline. People have been resuming other activities after COVID, you know, things like traveling, going to concerts, those are the things. But what's different about going to the cinema? Why hasn't that come back?
Let's talk about number of tickets sold a year, for example. Yeah. So in 2018 and 19, thereabouts, so good sample of pre-COVID.
Yeah,
okay.
We were looking at, I think, about 19 to 21. So say about average 20 million tickets sold
okay.
a year.
Right. What are we getting now?
2023, which is the latest stats from IMDA. Mm-hmm. We are looking at about 10 million tickets sold a
wow.
year. So that's a clear halving.
That's
okay.
Hard.
And 2024, I think when on speaking to the other operators, they kind of largely experienced the further drop from 2023.
Mm.
So there's a bit of a trend there.
Yeah,
I'm
but
afraid.
Why do you think this is happening? I mean, yeah. ever since COVID ended, people have been back out, going for concerts, events. Why not the cinema?
Yeah, there's a fair amount of revenge spending and revenge partying going on. I think... Fundamentally, this is the rise of streaming. Consumer behavior mm-hmm. patterns have changed.
Exactly.
The consumption of film is now, you know, people don't just consume it on large screen anymore. They consume it, you know, on small screens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also from the comfort of the home.
Yeah.
Like you, Steve.
Yep.
And there's also a lot more to choose from, you know, because the streamers have also kind of upped their budget in terms of content production.
Absolutely.
So you get some really... It's a shame because some of the stuff that's been produced would look fantastic on large screen, you know, but they don't actually get consumed on large screen.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just, you know, it's just
so, so
small
they,
screen.
So they look fantastic on the large screen, but at home they just look good.
Yes.
So in a way, it's good enough because I enjoy my movies, but I don't need it to sound like amazing. I'm not that kind of guy, you know.
But there is a key factor in the movie-going experience that you're missing out on, which is the communal experience.
Right? Oh, really? You got to tell me that because it is because of the communal experience that I stay home.
Well, that may be telling us a lot about your personality.
No, it does. He has a problem with the dirty seats.
I'm an extrovert. I love socializing, but I want to be in a... Yeah, I'm thinking... thousands of people have sat in this seat, you know. I go there and one of the guy next to me is talking all the time throughout the movie going, oh, did you see, what happened there? What happened in that part?
There is something really wonderful about everybody being together and sharing a film, right? And that could be something incredibly emotional. That could be something really scary. It could be something kind of like terrifically intense.
So you mean like when you laugh and everyone laughs at the same time?
Exactly. Or even just that feeling when everyone goes completely quiet because something really incredible happens on screen. Like, you know, we're talking about the Oscars.
Okay.
And we can come back to that in a bit. But the end of Anora, which is the film that won the Best Picture, that has an incredible quiet ending, which is absolutely devastating. And I think you wouldn't feel that emotional state if you just watched it at home and you were pausing for your pee breaks and grabbing your wine or your beer. But once you're all there in that room and you're all sharing something together, you're going through this experience together, I think that's really an amazing experience.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, but the competitor is formidable, right? Your Netflix and your Disney. Mm.
I do want to offer one tiny bit of historical perspective, which is that actually this sort of up and down cycle in cinema attendance is not new.
Okay.
Right? And it's not new internationally. It's also not new in Singapore. Mm. You know, in Singapore, movie going attendance has always traditionally been very, very high.
Yeah. Okay?
It's been a really, there's a big audience there and there's a, you know, the density of population, the amount of cinemas. So it kind of reached a peak in the late 70s. Yeah. And then with home video, it kind of went down. Yep. And in the 80s, people were having the same conversations, like cinemas going, you know, places were closing down.
But in this case, I think it's here to stay because in the past, we went to the cinemas because we couldn't get the movies anywhere else. Now, some of the movies go direct to streaming services. They don't even make it to the cinemas. Right. So again, I am spoilt for choice as a home viewer. I don't need the cinema.
So the ecosystem is changing as well.
Well, the ecosystem is changing. You know, one can also argue that there is a place for cinema going and will continue to do so because it's essentially, as Ben's kind of pointed out, it's also a social experience.
Right. Mm.
But you can't kind of replicate at home on your laptop.
Yes and no, because you go with someone, you spend 5 minutes talking to them, the movie starts, you're like, okay, no talking.
That's
and then
the
for 2 hours
part.
You sit in silence.
Here's the thing. Let me just unpack them. That's the typical, I would say, Singapore movie going experience.
Okay.
So it's kind of you arrive, maybe like 2 minutes before it starts, because you want to skip all the ads.
Yeah.
You go in, you watch the thing, you get ejected into some soulless, like fluorescently lit facilities corridor, and you go home, right?
That's right.
That's the typical
trap. Yeah.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
However,
you down the emergency staircase to exit, not even the lobby.
However, it doesn't have to be that way. And
okay.
At the, you know, which is why at the projector, we look at what we're creating as not just, our product's not film. A product is an experience and a social experience. So you come, typically people come about half an hour before, they get great food and drink and they get a beer or they get a pint and then they make their way into the theater. And after that, they hang out at the bar.
You get to talk about the show and
say,
hey,
and unpack
that.
And they unpack it with their friends, you know, and they have a night out. So it's a whole social experience that you can't have at home.
That's unique to what the projector is doing. For the typical cinema in Singapore, they still don't do that. I mean, it's...
They could learn some things from the projector. Right? I think the commercial cinemas, like we're hearing from Cathay and MM2, they're kind of like closing down and they're saying, please come to our cinemas, remember the past, remember how great Cathay used to be. But they can also be changing up their offerings and they can also do more. I mean, food in commercial cinemas is terrible, right?
Yep.
It's overpriced, it's bland, it's not progressed anywhere for 20 years. Whereas the projector, there's like really, really good food.
Do you need to have more bells and whistles? Let's say, I'm thinking, if I go to a cinema, it's because I can't get this experience at home, whereas maybe like virtual reality, I'm thrown into the movie, I'm in the Jeep driving with the guys, I can smell the jungle air, you know, I mean... Ben's looking at me like...
I'm totally confused.
But I'm saying... What was that? IMAX,
he wants that...
You know,
he's talking about the whole 4D cinema experience.
It's something you cannot replicate anywhere else.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's a destination that I visit because I know that experience will be uniquely different.
I think that's true. And, you know, there's been a long tradition as cinema traditionally has competed with other things like television and home video. Mm. They've always tried to add in the these bells and whistles. So we had IMAX and we got the 4DX sound and all that kind of stuff. But at some point, you know, those are novelties. You remember 3D? You remember Avatar and how everyone thought that that was going to be the norm?
Future.
You know, that all big blockbuster movies would be in this 3D format and you'd pay more. It was a more expensive ticket. Mm-hmm. And that kind of went away because those are, they're fun, but they are novelties. But the core experience of sharing the movie emotionally with other people and being around other people, that doesn't go away. And I think when people like it, they will keep coming back. Okay. So with the projector, there is definitely a core audience that keep coming and really like what you offer.
Yeah.
And that used to be the case with commercial cinemas in Singapore. You know, I remember at the weekends, even in the early 2000s and later, on Orchard Road, every screen was pretty much full on Saturday night because people would go out, they would drink lots of coffee and ice-blended drinks with their friends.
Movie.
And these are young people. That's and then they would go up and watch the late movies.
Yeah.
And there was a real buzz to that. And it was partly a social thing, but it was also it's an artistic thing. You're getting to see really good films as well.
But I want to come back to the business model, Karen, for the projector. What have you learned running this business, right? Movies and making it, you know, more than
viable,
just
that's what we're saying.
And also more than just movie, right? More than just coming in, watching movie and getting out. What have you learned in the process that it can be done? Can it be reversed?
Can I be a bit more blunt?
So, go for it, yeah.
Yeah, how are you guys doing financially? Are you finding that to make it work, just to break even, is a tough sell?
It's hard at the moment. You've got to work like three times as hard, you know, like to earn what you used to. That's for sure.
Okay.
And you know, forget about just the cinema landscape. It's just in general. I think a lot of businesses are suffering from post-COVID inflation. You know, we talk about rent is primarily one of the biggest,
of
you know, contributors to cost. That hasn't come down. In fact, that's actually
how much does a ticket cost at the projector?
At the moment, on the weekend, 16.
Okay, and that's about the same at regular cinemas, right?
Yeah. So cost is one of the things. You know, if you have a family, it adds up, right? Mm. So I guess that's one of the things. But cinemas are space dependent, and we know that in Singapore, space means rent.
Yes.
Right, and pretty much you have
and
to
they
eat.
Have, right? They're actually, you know, the one commercial tenant that has the largest footprint, right? It's different if you're running a cafe.
Yeah.
So rent plays a big part. And, you know, now we've got like manpower costs on the rise as well.
Sure.
Utilities costs, so, like you name it. How long's a piece of string?
Yeah.
Lots of challenges is what I'm saying, especially if, you know, you're an SME in the Singapore
so
market.
So that's your challenge, you know, in terms of the costs. But for the home viewer, you know, they're thinking $16 for a ticket, $16 for a monthly subscription.
Yeah. So that's your competitor.
And I can watch, like, I don't know, multiple shows.
Sure. And I do see that, you know, actually it's a competition for people's time and attention.
Yeah.
You know, with the rise of social media, doom scrolling, binge watching, we've all been there, done that. Mm. It's kind of like normal practice now. But I do see that, you know, there's still a place for people who want to go out. People still do want to go out. You spend half your time on your screens, half your time you're working from home.
Right.
You want a social experience.
Yeah.
And that is then available for you at the cinema.
Okay.
You know, and so I don't think that need is a basic human need. I don't think that's going in away anytime soon.
Mm. I think the streaming thing has been a bit exaggerated. That's really totally changed. I mean, how is it that fun? You talk about $16.
Yeah.
People used to pay like $50, $60 for their StarHub subscription.
Right.
I mean, you know, and mostly what people are streaming is TV shows. Right,
okay.
Where they're streaming the latest series of something. Mm. There are movies on streaming, but it's not really a primary offering.
Right.
If you want to see new movies, if you think about the big Oscar films this year that were nominated for the big prizes, most of them aren't streaming.
They're not.
They
aren't.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
right.
If you want to be up to date with that conversation, you have to go and see them in the cinema.
Okay.
And thankfully, that's still the case. They're still protecting those films,
right,
and making sure that they are in the big screen, which is what the filmmakers
want.
So
I guess the challenge is because I have to admit, when she mentioned a few names of the Oscars and you know these winners, I'd never heard of the movies. I've not been following and keeping up, you know. So until it arrives here in Singapore shores or at the cinema, then I'll go, oh, Conclave, let me Google that. What is that about?
Mm.
And I didn't watch the Oscars. I mean, it's kind of fun, you know, I'll read up some news. But I got to think that I represent at least a certain percentage of the population who is not in the know when it comes to the
not
scene.
Not clued
right?
into movies.
So to them, they're saying, What's the big deal?
People might be coming out less, but I do think, you know, let's say going to the cinema is now a bit more of a destination, an event. It's an occasion thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Which means that, you know, if you're not doing it that often, you're then therefore also prepared to spend more.
Yeah.
You know,
on
that if it's an occasion.
So from the operator point of view, they have to think through a few of these things, right? Mm. It's not just the movie you're screening. It could be even the type of films, right? So you see, for the GVs and the Shaws of the world, it's all your Marvel movies and all your big blockbusters. But there's scope for independent niche films like The Projector has shown, right? Do you think that that's kind of the way to go as well, to broaden the reach?
I don't think that's going to be a silver bullet, because by definition, it is
indie.
It is indie. Mm. So it's not mass market, you know, by definition. So, but what we've seen over the last 10 years is that there is an increase in interest, you know, for non-mainstream content. Mm. And in part, it's also audience education on our part. Yeah. Increasingly people are quite curious-minded about, you know, watching something that they've never heard of before.
Yeah.
So that's actually a heartening trend for us in that sort of niche independent market.
Yeah. Ironically, because Singapore is so small, I mean, sometimes the question is, what shall we do this weekend? People are stuck for, like, what to do. So something novel, interesting, projector says, hey, it's a movie about, and you're like,
you have festivals, right?
Like,
So the other thing that, you know, that we do quite a lot is we, for lack of a better term, we eventize films. So, for example, what we like to do is to have, like, a director's Q&A after, for example. You know, he could zoom in from wherever he is in the world and speak to the audience and answer questions about the film. Or we pair it up with, you know, for example, if we're showing a film about cats, you know, we pair it up with the Singapore, the Cat Welfare Society and
bring
do a fundraiser and things
over.
Like that. And they do a cat adoption drive and you have kittens in the foyer.
Right.
So it becomes a much larger experience than just coming in and just watching a film and leaving.
Yeah.
Right.
And hopefully it's also thought provoking as well.
Mm-hmm. I also want to say something about you showing older films.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I think that that's something, you know, because I teach students, I teach younger people. And I think they're really aware that now more than ever that, like, watching an old film, a classic old film on their phone or, you know, the iPad or the laptop, they're not really getting the full experience. And so to be able to go and watch, like, classic old movies, like
the Kurosawa retrospective that we did.
I was thinking of that because I went to see Seven Samurai.
Yes.
And it was on a Saturday afternoon. It was pretty full at
Cine
Leisure.
Wow.
And it was people there with their families, you know, obviously older people bringing their older kids.
Yeah.
Not small kids, but maybe their teenage son and daughter saying, hey, you should watch this film. It's really good. Mm. And again, back to the communal sense of enjoying the film. But that's a really special thing. And those films aren't on streaming. You know, to get to see those older titles and they're well curated and they're interesting selections, sometimes not always the ones you expect, is a really beautiful opportunity.
But do you think the audience has also changed and that there's a smaller... The kind of guys like you, Ben, I mean, you know...
In a very much a minority.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, there used to be the Singapore Film Festival. I remember when I was much younger.
They're going to be terribly offended. They're still around.
Okay, so I haven't been in many years. I can't help it because I'd been and saw a few movies.
He used to go for the Singapore Film Festival.
And did you watch a lot of stuff?
I did watch quite a lot of stuff. But then after a while, it got really painful because I sat through some movies that I thought were so agonizing because they were artsy. Some guy riding a motorbike up and down a slope, it keeps stalling. And he does it for like 3 minutes.
I think I've seen that.
You know,
film,
so I'm like, okay, I can't take this. So as I got older, my taste also changed. And now, I guess, Singapore, we're always so rushing about. Time is precious. So you're thinking, if I want to get some entertainment, I want to just go and watch a mindless movie and leave going, haha, what was it about? I don't remember, but I had a good time.
But film is art as well, right?
Yeah, so it can be for both.
It can be both experiences.
Yeah. So, but the challenge is, I think for more people, they'd be a bit more like me than you, unfortunately, right?
Well, that is also partly to do with the education aspect, right? Of making sure people are aware that all of these different experiences are at the cinema. Mm. And it's not always just about seeing like a really difficult art house movie. You know, people are like
there's
those, like going to see big commercial films
and
you know, things like horror movies, which work really well in the big screen. You can't have that experience at home of being in a big crowd watching a horror movie.
So how would you try and convince people who are listening in saying, give me a reason to go to the cinema today? I mean,
What about your
I think
the
we
students?
Gave you about 10 reasons already.
What about your...
I'm sorry, you haven't convinced me yet. So
all right, okay.
You are hard to convince, Steve. What about your students, the ones that you teach? I mean, would they go to the cinema?
A lot of the students I teach are film media students, right? And I actually think the interest is more than it used to be. And okay. I think there's a curiosity about film that's actually growing and an awareness that it's an art form and it's not just about entertainment. You were mentioning the festival. In the past, really, you had to wait for the festival
that's
to
right.
come round before you could see.
And there was a frenzy of buying tickets and
that's
the rushing
right, that's
around.
Right.
And that scarcity created a buzz around the festival, which was great. But of course, you know, it's better that there are venues offering that year round, right?
Right.
And I think the students definitely are a lot more open-minded. Mm-hmm. And because they've grown up with the devices and they've grown up being able to download everything like your kids, right? Mm-hmm. They are aware that seeing something on the big screen is a bit of a special experience.
Okay. Yeah.
And they are drawn to it. The thing is to build on that, right?
Yeah.
It's to market to them. It's to sustain that and develop that and make sure that we kind of keep that going.
That's right. But from a business point of view, to eventicize, you know, movie going.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. It's a lot of money too. I mean, maybe your F&B can cover some of the costs. Because, you know, because the cafe is, or the eatery or the restaurant
yes.
is so good.
Yeah, we've got a bar.
You might just come
cafe.
Have a drink.
Yes.
Instead, right?
Now, we've also diversified to non-film content as well. So
right.
we do... You know, stand-up comedy.
Okay.
You have like poetry slams. You have book readings. You have all sorts of things happening as well. Wrestling matches in our bar with pole dancing competitions. Lots of DJ
parties.
We have lots of parties.
Been to
one of those nights.
Parties.
All sorts of things, right? So we've got that, and then we've got the bar. So there's some F&B revenue as well.
Mm.
And the third pillar is actually and something that we've seen pick up is. What we call venue hire, which is a third party coming in. Like corporates like to hire.
Using
venue.
The space.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And use the space during the day and during the dead times.
So in that respect, then you're kind of saying that the current model of going to the cinema, just showing up, watching, leaving, it sounds like it's kind of hit a dead end.
I'd say it's all that experience is always there.
Yeah, I think that's always there.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, I think people just maybe need a more reasons to get out of the home.
Okay.
And
or maybe it's because we have too many cinemas to begin with. So it's kind of whittling down, but eventually it'll find the number that is enough for the group that still does that.
So interesting stat again.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID, there was about maybe, I would say 270 to 280 screens in Singapore based on IMDA.
Okay.
So you can... quote them on that. And then now, I think in 2023, that number hasn't actually changed very much.
Oh.
So if you compare that to the admits, there's some, I suppose there would be some right sizing to be done.
No, but I also noticed that
like
some of the cinemas rent them out to third parties, right? Like churches,
so
for example, sometimes.
Or charity events.
And so maybe that's one way they can kind of keep afloat, but still keep the core business of offering movies still.
Yes.
Because it's such an important part of, I don't know, just culture.
It is
life,
an important
society.
Part of culture.
Totally, totally.
And a social experience, you know.
Yeah.
So.
When TV first came out, people said that it would kill the film industry. Mm. It didn't.
No.
So same thing.
That's
with
why
the
I say
internet.
Streaming. We're all getting kind of really worried about streaming.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that much different, really, than all of these other things that came along. I mean, in a way, probably the biggest threat to cinema and a lot of activities is the internet itself.
Okay.
The fact that people are always on and can get so many different kinds of content.
Yeah.
I think streaming and Netflix are not that much of a threat
to
cinema. I mean, the only issue with Netflix was the fact that they would buy up these big movies from film festivals and then not want to release them in the cinema. But
exactly.
I think, you know, one of the things, Sean Baker, who won the many awards at the Oscars a couple of days ago, the director of Anora, you know, he kept on saying, we filmmakers basically got to stand up and say we want our films in the cinema. And I think as people become more aware of that, we'll see more of that happening.
I think he also mentioned, like, deliberately that he would continue to make films for large
screen
as well, you know, and to be consumed on large screen.
Okay.
And that was quite a deliberate sort of intent and call.
What about local filmmakers, right? I mean, like Jack Neill's latest film actually did make money, right?
I mean, pretty much all of his films make money.
Yeah.
I would also like to point out that Jack, one man does not an entire local filmic landscape make. But we've also seen an emergence of like more independent filmmakers in Singapore, filmmakers.
Yeah,
and in support of the local film ecosystem, we do tend to give them a much longer run than the big boys.
Yeah.
And we do actually see interest from the public, mm-hmm. you know, to sort of not just consume the film, but also get to know the filmmakers themselves.
Yeah.
I do love watching movies and, you know...
I will go.
I will go again to find that experience and see if it still, you know... triggers something in me, makes me go, wow, it's kind of cool to be here, you know. Sometimes not all movies make it to the cinema. Did you hear about this movie called Constipation?
No.
Yeah, it never came out.
Thank God we didn't.
It never came out.
Oh my God, that is such a bad show.
That's very bad.
It's supposed to be. I actually believed you for about two seconds.
You've got to cut this.
Is that a horror film?
It's a Steve Bat joke. It's not a dad joke. Okay. It's a bad joke.
It's a bad dad joke.
Okay, guys, any last, pitch you would like?
No, I would say, look, I think streaming and social media and all that, I think all that stuff's here to stay. You know, that's not going away. Mm. But equally, I think there is a place in one's life and lifestyle to, go to the theatre and watch a film. Principally, again, because it's a social experience. Yeah. We're spending half our time inhabiting the digital realm.
That's right.
You know, and equally, we also need the in-physical, in-real-life sort of experiences as well. They're as important.
Yeah.
Now more than ever, actually.
People have to start young, okay? I think formative experiences, kids going to the cinema, seeing a film for the first time in a cinema, in that space, the atmosphere of that space, you know, that the kind of moment when the film begins, it's very exciting. And I think once they get that bug young, it won't go away. It's part of your childhood memories. We're all, even you must be nostalgic about films you saw when you were a kid. Don't answer that. It's okay. I know you're going to say no. So that's one thing. I also think, a key thing, we were talking about recognition and the fact that not enough people know about the projector. People who would love it potentially don't know about it. Marketing is really challenging in this very fragmented world. Maybe we all remember the days where you used to buy the newspaper, open up, and the double page spread with all of the listings.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just a wonderful thing to see it all laid out there. That's gone now. We have to subscribe to various mailing lists and check various websites to find out what's going on. So marketing from both, from all sides of the industry needs to get better and sharper and more targeted so that people know what's going on. Mm. I'm often finding out things really late that this film is being revived. They started showing older films in IMAX at Shaw, for instance. I didn't know they were there. And so that whole thing needs to get some resources behind it, because it isn't just a commercial thing. It is a cultural thing, and it is important.
Yeah. On that note, actually, just a segue, it's a cultural thing indeed. And so I know there's the recent announcement of the Singapore Culture Pass.
Right, yes.
Can you use it for movies?
At the moment, I think not. And so, therefore, I would suggest that film is firmly part of culture and should be included in that culture pass.
Okay. Yeah.
To whoever's listening,
note
please.
To government.
Yeah. Have a look at the details, but sure. Why not? It should. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, I totally agree with you guys because I love watching movies. Yeah. So you don't have to convince me at all. And, Sean Baker also said this, right? He said, parents, bring your kids to the cinema. Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yes. Yeah. I wasn't original. Yeah.
So thank you, guys. Thank you for coming on.
Okay, thanks so much, guys. Yeah, so that's it for this week's Deep Dive. Big shout out to our team who, of course, supporting us all the time. Junaini Johari, Tiffany Ang, Saya Win, Joanne Chan, and Hanida Amin. And of course, if you have comments or any thoughts, do drop us a note. We do love to hear from you.
See you next week.
Bye.